Sefer Orchis Tzadikim, which consists of 28 shiurim, 28 gates, as we'll see Be'ez Hashem, dealing with all the different various types of midos, and explaining and teaching a person how to be able to develop those various midos. One thing which runs through the Sefer is that all of his hashkofis, the Chovis Avovis, are based upon that which was taught by Rishonim before him and in their Svarim. And he took and he gleaned from the various different Svarim, not at all confined to one of the Rishonim before him, and he was Mesadrit based upon his own Seder, in a very, very wonderful Seder, in addition to the fact is that he used his own words, his own Loshon. Anytime someone like would copy an idea, bringing the source of the author, let us say, and yet it's the Loshon of the original source might be difficult. But the Chovis Avovis basically brings it down in his own words. And one of the things that the strongest sources and influence of the Chovis Avovis is from a great Paitan, a great philosopher, Reb Shlomo Evin Gvirol. There's a street named after him in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Evin Gvirol. Shlomo Evin Gvirol basically wrote a sefer called Tikkun Midas HaNefesh, among many others. Tikkun Midas HaNefesh basically discusses, and it's founded upon the five koiches, or the five faculties, or the five senses that a person has, and in order to develop these various senses and be able to use them properly. So the words of Shlomo Evin Gvirol actually serve as a strong yesod to the prokim of the Sefer. Reb Shlomo Evin Gvirol, you have to realize, he was known as a genius. I mean, all of the Rishonim were geniuses, but he stands out. He stands out and known among his peers as a genius. The whole person lived, Sachakol, was 37 years old. His life was 37 years old, and he was nifter as early as 1058. You have to realize how early we're talking about. The year 1058. And he was known again as a Balmusser, he was known as a Chakran, a philosopher, he was known as a Paitan, a Mishoire. And Reb Moshe Ibn Ezra, again, not to be confused with Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, but Avraham Ibn Ezra is the Ibn Ezra who, of course, wrote the Pirush HaChumash. But there is also Reb Moshe Ibn Ezra, and not necessarily related. Reb Moshe Ibn Ezra was Nifter in 1140, and he writes about the godless of Reb Shlomo Evin Gvirol, and he writes the Loshon, he says, Hu tikein es midas nafshoi. He says that Reb Shlomo Evin Gvirol was actually succeeded in being misakin the midas of his nefesh, v'chinach es tivoi, and it was machanach his nature. His nature became changed to do the right thing. V'hein es tavas o artzius. He says he subdued his natural instincts, he writes, and inclinations. He says, the heichen es nafshul dvarav hu al yoinim, the dvarim al yoinim. He says, Ben Gvirol, he says, Yerachmeo akel kodesh boruch shal rachmonis, hoi hatsoir bishonim, he was one of the youngest, shebekvutzis hamishoirim shebedoiri, when the youngest of all the various Paitonim in his generation, aval olo aleyem bimlitzoisef, but he rose above them. He was greater than them. Hoi umen nifle, umelis nizgav, he was the tremendous artist, the artist meaning is in prose, in Paitan, in writing poetry, and he points out that his tzidkis really stands out in a sense that he achieved, he writes, sublime holiness. He achieved sublime holiness and ascended to heights, he says, unparalleled, this is by his contemporaries, writes Reb Moshe Ibn Ezra. Interesting among the, we in our are not knowing to say much of his piyutim, we don't have, many of them we don't have. There is an outstanding composition, which is a lengthy shir, which is called Keser Malchus, which in some kehilas it is said on Yom Kippur, following Ma'ariv. And in that shir, or in that poem, in that piyut, Reb Shlomo Evin Gvirol, he presents some of his views about the essence of Hashem, and also the attributes of Hashem. He also, in piyut and in prose, he points out the astronomical system of the world and the vastness of the universe. And finally, also man's insignificance and the resulting realization of his sin and his vidui's confession and man acknowledging his worthlessness, and so on and so forth. What stood really against him was his brutal honesty. Shlomo Gavirol was not noisiponim to anyone. In other words, he spoke out his mind, what he felt was the right thing, to the point where really it hurt him. And even people from whom he really needed favors. Nevertheless, Reb Shmuel HaNogid even shoots arrows against him, and although they were good friends, and people, even though that he would need certain favors from them, but if it came to a situation of speaking out, he would. And that really, if people didn't meet his standards and so on and so forth, it caused him anguish, because he was an ish emes totally, and therefore, wherever he went, his life seemed to be followed either by envy and strife, wherever he set foot and so on and so forth. So he had a very, very difficult life. So, again, this is Reb Shlomo Gavirol. It's kedaidak to mention, you know, when you talk about, and this is another discussion, not for now, you know, about the morale creating a goylem, and whether he did or whether he did not, which is, again, a separate discussion. But interesting is that regarding Reb Shlomo Ever Gavirol, it is also attributed to him, which is way before the morale, hundreds of years before the morale, that in fact that he was Meyatzer a goylem. He created a goylem. But again, this is immaterial. The Nekuda is that he was one of the top towering figures of his time, which very few matched him, Reb Shlomo Ever Gavirol. It's interesting to say how his shidduch came about, that his Rebbe, one of the yeshivas that he learned, his Rebbe said that particular time, the following loshes, was very, very particular in finding a chosen for his daughter. And the Rebbe said, he says, Mishi itin li pri chodesh, somebody who gives me a new fruit, comes up with some beautiful idea, some new idea. A pri chodesh, he says, I'll give him my daughter for a wife. It was Gimel Ir, and Shlomo Ben Gavirol, he heard it. So he sits down, Dalet Ir, and he writes with his known, the Sefer Huazorois. The Sefer Huazorois is the Sefer dealing with Mitzvah Saseh and the Mitzvah Lois Saseh. The Huazorois is which warns a person what he has to do and what teaches him what he should not be doing, with Biurim, with Perushim, and commentary. And he gets up in the morning, and he goes to Davin, and he throws, on the way to Shul, he throws it through into the window of his Rebbe, without even signing his name to it. The Rebbe gets up in the morning, he sees scattered papers all over the place, and he picks it up, and he begins to read it, and he saw the nature, he said, without any doubt, the only person who can compose something like that has to be my Talmud, the Shlomo Ever Gavirol. And he announced, he said publicly, these papers, he says, these scattered papers, these are going to be, he says, the Neyorishal Kedushin, he says, for him, Take, and my daughter. This is the way legend has it. So he got married before Shavuos, and says the Erev Shavuos was the Sheva Brachas, and the Nisuin, and so on and so forth. And Shlomo Ever Gavirol, there, among other things, also developed a great name as being Ebal Moifis as well. So what we're mentioning is that many of the ideas of the 28 Shiorim of the Orchas Tzadikim is founded on the teachings of Reb Shlomo Ever Gavirol, as we'll come down to see. But it does not end there. Also, quite a number of Ashkofis from the Rambam, Orchas Tzadikim follows. He follows Rabbeinu Yoina from the Sefer Shari Tshuva, quite a number of situations. And also from the Sefer Chovos HaBavos, which he follows. As a matter of fact, what he did was, he made a sort of like a kitzer of the Chovos HaBavos, which means the Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. He went down, he sort of like abridged it, and so on and so forth, from the Chovos HaBavos. And then the continuous Rishonim that he continues to bring, Rabbeinu Hananel, Rashi, Bala Tosfos, and so on and so forth, the Rekeach, Sefer Chassidim, the Ravid, Reb Lezer Mimitz, and so on, the Or Zeruah and the Bala Smag. So if you have the Sefer Orchas Tzadikim, you really have the teaching and the Misoira of so many great Rishayim, of course, that we learn the Torah at all time. And here we have their Hashkofas. Usually we learn the Halachas of these great people, Balatayses, the Rambam, and so on. But here we have the Hashkofas through the teachings of the Orchas Tzadikim. So if we take a look, Rabbi Isai, here in the Orchas Tzadikim. Still in the Hagdomen, and Bez Hashem, this will conclude with the Hagdomen. We'll mention next week, start with the Teichen HaSefer. It's Amud Vav. It's Amud Vav, page Vav, Lochein. You see the paragraph that is Lochein. I just want to mention that there's a Sefer called Shalshelis HaKabbalah. A Chaber who lived quite a few hundreds of years ago. The Sefer Shalshelis HaKabbalah, Lamaisa, has been had been taken to task. In a certain sense, it's a gewaltige name, Shalshal's Kabbalah, and also that the Machaber, who lived truly hundreds of years ago, and yet it has been criticized and said that there's a lot of inaccuracies. But again, there's a lot of accuracies as well. If it would be totally inaccurate, nobody would quote him. But not everything is exactly, has been shown to be exactly accurate, but yet it is quoted, because overall, but there are klal. So Sefer Shalshal's Kabbalah is something that has been quoted. So he brings down there that when there was a goy who was mekana, was very jealous on the Yeroiv Chochma of Reb Shloim Evin Gvirol, that he got up one day and he murdered him. According to Shalshal's Kabbalah, that's the way he passed away, that's the way he died. He was murdered by a goy. And he buried the body, he says, in his garden underneath a fig tree. So bring the Sefer Shalshal's HaKabbalah. He buried him underneath a fig tree. And to use the Lashon, HaTe'eino Chonto Fageo. What happened is, since from the moment on that he buried the body of Reb Shloimeh Evin Gvirol under the fig tree, that fig tree began to produce Peiros Shloike Derechateva. One never saw such beautiful peiros, beautiful fruits, continuously, Atkedei Kach, that it took the interest of the melech of the kingdom, and he called upon the goy who in his garden this tree existed to ask him what happened, and they didn't tell him, they didn't want to say anything. So the melech was mitzavet to torture him, literally the goy, until he was moided that he killed a chochem godel, said to the point, and then he buried him. So brings the sefer Shalshal to Kabbalah. When the melech heard that, he was mitzavet, he says that they hang him on that tree, on that fig tree, that same fig tree. That so, okay, Kabbalah, this is again another shtickel in the line of the Shloimeh Evin Gvirol. Okay, so we take a look here in the Chovos Avodos, here in the Hagdama. Okay, Omud Vav Lochein. So Chovos Avodos, he says, Lochein, therefore, says the Orchis Sadikim, Lochein, Yesh lo hidiya la koil, says it's important, he says, that people be informed. It's important, he says, that people be informed. Ki kol isha roitze lohovi nafshu l'dei midas ha-toivis. He says, any person who really wants to attain midas toivis, worthy character traits, tzorech le'orev yirishumayim im kol mido mido. It's important that he has yirishumayim, which is mixed in with each trait, ki yiras Hashem hi kesher hamachzekes kol amidos. Because Yerushimayim is the common bond among all of the Midas. It's a very fascinating thing. What he means to say is that true Midas Toy, because otherwise, if you don't have Yerushimayim, then the definition also of Midas, by the way, is very, very subjective. And as idealistic as people might be, when they have their own Negias, truly, what is best for them, all of a sudden there's different definitions, different interpretation, what's a Midas Toy, what is not a Midas Toy. This is the right thing for now, they say, because it's good for him. Therefore, to be a true Baal Midos Toivos, says Yochai Tzadikim, and have you connect with Yerushimayim. So it's independent. It's with true Yerushimayim, he says, and that is the common bond. That is the kesher, that's Marzekes, he says, Kol HaMidos. V'doy Melechut, he says, a beautiful moshul. He says, the relationship between Yerushimayim to the Midos Toivos, V'doy Melechut, is like a string. Shechnisu L'toychayra HaMagolias. Imagine a string of pearls, right, that you have a string that runs through the whole of the pearls. So you have to tie a knot. You have to tie a knot in order that it stays. So the kashru kishar metachtisoi. So there are knots, right? Or a knot is tied at the end to hold the pearls. Lahagzi kolamagolias. Ein sofik, without a doubt, everybody knows. Ki bihinosek hakesher. That once that the knot opens up or the knot is cut, yiplu kolamagolias. Of course, he knows that you lose all of the pearls. All the pearls will fall. The string will not be able to hold the pearls unless the knot is in place. The same thing says the Orchis Tzadikim. Kach hayiro hi hamachzekes kol amidos. The same way that this is the knot. This is the knot that keeps all of the midos, that secures all of the character traits. The imtatir kesher hayiro. And if in fact, if you open up, if you remove the kesher, that calls it the knot. Because yiro is the knot when it comes to midos toivis. Yibadlu mimcho kol midos toivis. He says, then all the good midos toivis will depart from you. And look what he says further. And you think midos toivis, good midos, is just a mila, it's just an advantage? It's much more than that. It's the foundation. Look what he says. If a person does not really have good midos, aim biyotcha toivis mitzvahs. It's a phenomenal thing what he says. A person thinks he might be a goyin, he can know gan shas, or a dal chelku shulchan aruch.
The Chassidim tells if you don't have midas toivis, ain't biyotcha toira mitzvahs. Ki kola toira teluya betikun amidas. Because he says all of toira hinges upon one thing. All of toira hinges upon one thing, and that's the perfection of one's midas. Ki kola midas toivis verois. Regarding all the different midas, the good and the bad ones. Hechacham, the person who is wise, yochalaisos harois toivis. He's able to change, transform the bad ones, turning into good ones. The foolish person is just the opposite. He takes even the good ones and transforms and makes bad things out of it. Faksil, yase midos toivos lerois. So, therefore, pointing out again, so what we have over here is that the kesher that's machzik midos to make the midos durable and to be meaningful, all the midos toivos, you have to have Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim, that is the kesher. That is what keeps it and that is what holds it in place. Otherwise, you lose it. And if you don't have midos toivos, then you don't have your Torah mitzvahs really either. And he goes on to say that Misha Hoyle B'choshech, a person who walks really in the dark, the Einam is Boinim B'tikun Amidus. He walks in darkness and does not reflect upon perfecting his Midos. He says, Epsher, it's possible. In other words, you have to realize the damage of Midos Rois, even one Midos Roa. You have to realize the tremendous damage that even one bad, negative Midos can do. He says, it's possible that a person will be able to have one bad midah that basically will negate all of his chusim, all of his merits. Take for example a person who is proud. He's always proud of himself and he's boastful of his acts. Especially he boasts and takes advantage of the failings of his chaver. He boasts, look at me, look at the difference between me and him. And he's a person who aggrandizes himself, right? Honors himself through somebody else's dishonor. Somebody else's dishonor becomes his covet. Oh, look at the difference between me and him. So he says, Vishahu, this person, a person, for example, who possesses midas agayve to this extent, doime, is compared to me shememalei chovi yisyayin mishubach. So, Dorotim, I want you to listen to the following motion. Imagine a person who fills up a barrel with fine wine, but the yesh betachtis achovi is nekev cotton. But the bottom of the barrel is a small hole. That's all you need. If a small hole, ein sofik, it's clear, sheyoivat kol hayayin hameshubach benekev hakotten. Then all the fine wine, little by little, right, all the fine wine will get lost im lo yistem oisoi, if it's not sealed. All the fine wine will escape through that little hole. Kacham is goy hazeh, says Orchid Sadikim, this person who is proud, who is a balgaive. Alpha pishu mole toire, look what he says. Even though he might be full of toire, ye abed hakol yedei hamidah rozois. It's like the barrel that's filled with fine wine. He's full of toire. It's like the barrel that's full of wine, but there's a little hole. What good does it do? It just seeps and escapes. So all the toire that a person has, the Gaive is like a little hole. It's a little hole, therefore, that allows all the Torah that he had to escape. Imloy Yochush Lisakanofi does not hasten to correct it. The problem is that Uma'atim Heim Ba'olam HaMakir Mo'emes. The problem is that there are few in the world who recognize the truth. Yesh, and he goes on to point out the different types of people that you have. Yesh, there are people, She'ein Chachomim Lahakir. There are people that are not even wise enough to recognize the truth. And therefore, in the same way, she'ein ha'ketua shtei raglov, right? A person whose legs are amputated. We know, of course, he's not able to climb a ladder. He's not able, yuchal lalois besulam, he's not able to climb a ladder, because he doesn't have the legs. A person who's not makir, is not wise enough to recognize what's right and what's wrong in midos, kach le'yale b'madregis ha'chochem emishem bo'y tefune. So to such a person will not be able to grow at all. He will not be able to grow, right, in the ladder of Chochmah without understanding. He doesn't have the understanding. Then he says there's another type of people. Yeshu Chochom, there are those that are Chochomim. He might be wise, but there's another problem. He's wise and he knows the truth. But there is a problem and there's a strong flaw that does not allow him to acquire what he knows and understands to be right. Why? Because v'nitva betava so oilo min urov. Because this person already became so steeped, right, from their youth in the tavas oilam, in the lust of the world, Achiyosim kol chokhmos. So he said, now he uses his chokhmah. Instead of using his chokhmah to do the right thing, he used the chokhmah to pursue taiva. He uses the chokhmah to pursue the wrong thing. He uses his chokhmah lahatik tavosoi velasis ritzoin yisro hira. And therefore he uses his chokhmah, his wisdom, to employ all of the chokhmah that he has to attain his desires and to satisfy his yetzahara. Ki hurgal min urav b'maisim haroi, because he already became so rogel, became so habitual from his youth doing these bad things, achehem kivuim b'nafshoi, they have become ingrained. They've actually become ingrained within him. The koshalim oidlihi molet. And it's so difficult from him to free himself. Lihi molet mipach yokush wavoinus. He finds it so extremely difficult to free himself from the snare of their transgressions. So you can have someone who's either he's not a chokham at all, to really makir, to be makir. Then you can have somebody who is a chokham, but he's too weak. He's too weak because he's already caught up in the trappings of his Yetzirah, he's caught up in the trappings of his Taiva, and became used to it from his youth, and now therefore became nature to him, and it's very hard for him now to be able to separate himself. And then he says further, the Yesh, and there's also another group of people, Sheyesh b'chokhma. There are yet others who have chokhma lahakir, to recognize the truth. Not only that, v'gam chofetz leilach b'drochim toivim, and they really want to do the right thing. The problem is, they never were guided though. They never had direction. They never associated themselves with the right people to teach them, in fact, what is the appropriate way to be noyig. But these people did not find themselves right to be associated with the right chachomim lishmoyem hem achochmo v'adrochim ayushorim. So they were not apprised. They were not apprised by any real chachomim to teach them the right way, the proper path. And therefore, as a result, they walk in darkness. The Doime, he gives a beautiful moshul, he says, these people really want to do the right thing, but being that they were misguided, so therefore they are unable to do it, is similar to a person, imagine a person who has a treasure in his house, but he doesn't know about it. He's unaware of the treasure, and he goes and sells the house to somebody else, the whole treasure goes with it. He had a treasure, but he just didn't know. He didn't know, he was not aware of it. So a person can have chokhmah, and really can have the right wants, could have the right, right, can have the right goals in his mind, but nevertheless, he's just not able. He's not just able to reach it simply because he did not associate himself with the chachamim to teach him how to do it and what he's supposed to be doing. So Yochel Sadikim, his boy name, so consider. So you have to realize no two people are alike. A man with all of his midos, with all of his traits, he says one is different than the other. Behold, mido amido, and every character trait within a person, toirefes dasa odom, it means competes for his attention. Each mido within a person is competing for the attention of the person. Zu mashcha selikan, this mido is pulling him to this direction. Zu mashcha selikan, and the other one is pulling him in a different direction. And guess what? The Yetzirah also has something to say. So the Yetzirah, right, gets involved to enable him, right, and to abet him in the lowliest midah possible. If all the midahs are pulling, so one of the midahs has the Yetzirah by side. That is the worst of all midahs. So he says, the Yetzirah is a Messiah. The Yetzirah also right, enables him and abets him l'chol midah sheyivchar hapochu shebo, that he should choose, and inciting him to choose that which is the most evil. And here again he says, a very nice moshuv, v'hudoyim eliyodom. This person, you realize, a person. And again, a person, every midah that he has is really competing for his attention. And therefore, you have to be aware of it. You have to be aware of it, that the midos are really there within you. And each one is trying to pull you in different directions, and therefore you have to have control and realize which one to allow more, which one less. You have to gauge it. And he says this is similar again in other mashals. You see quite a number of mashalim that you said already. This is similar to a person who walks in the wilderness. He's walking in the wilderness, and he's being attacked by bears and lions. Unemerim, and leopards, uzevim, and wolves, the harbim mashchisim, and many other predators. So of course, a person who is attacked by many animals cannot only focus on one animal, because there's so many attacking him. So what does he have to do? He had to have his eyes set in every direction, for each and every animal. This person has to have his eyes open. He has to open his eyes and have to fight with each one. And if he closes his eyes, just even for one instant, yetrefu hamazikim, he says, they will tear him, the beasts will tear him apart. Says Yochai Tzadikim, the same thing is the Midos Rois are continuously attacking a person. He's being attacked. Instead of the physical sense, he's being attacked in this way. The Kach Odom B'Midos of a Rois, so to a person with all of those negative Midos. The bad Midos, the evil ones, Kigoyin Atava, which is lust, Vahagaiva and pride, Vahasina and hatred, Vahkas and anger, Kiyoitzabem. Misgalgalois B'Liboy Tomi. The truth is that they circulate within him all the time. So these Midos circulate within him all the time. And says the Yochai Tzadikim, therefore, ve'im yis'aleim v'lo yis'akdim, if he ignores it, ignores him, does not pay attention, and does not correct it, eventually what's going to happen is, ye'oker melibo oir ha'emes, it will remove from his heart, he says, the light of truth, ve'yomish choshich, and he will grope in the dark. And therefore the Pesuk says, shivisi Hashem l'negdi somit, I've set Hashem continuously before me, which means you have to have your eyes open at all times, realizing what you have to do, because it's a war out there. There's a war out there within a person regarding all of the various midos that are set every moment and continuously to attack him. And you have to be on guard all the time. And you have to work on fighting them and to correct them. And if you just ignore them, says the Yochai Tzadikim, then they will take over the person. Now, you notice, when a person is born, we found there is a big difference between human man. When he is born the most helpless of all of creations. Ha'odom b'shosh enoilad, man is born, hu begufoy ubechochmosoy, he is weaker in his body and his chochma, he says, cholosh mishar kol abriyus. He is weaker than all the other creatures. He kol abriyus, because all the other creatures, he says, b'yoyim hivoldom, he says, on the day that they are born, hem holchim, they are able to walk, v'oichlim, they can eat, u'misayim li'atzman, they are able to fend more or less for themselves. But man is not like that. Man is totally helpless. Man really needs great effort is required to raise him. Not only that, he says, not only his guf needs tikkun, but also his neshama lisakin achochma lohovin derochim toivim. But a person needs also great training for his neshama, to perfect his wisdom and to understand what is the right path. So this continuing growth, continuous training. It says, because the person in the beginning, without a teacher, he says, conducts himself as a beast. But on the other hand, the good news is that the lave of a person is doyme to a blank tablet. A blank tablet which is ready to write on. So it all depends what you write on it. If you write on it good things, it's there for the writing. It's there to accept what you write on it. Depends who has the tablet, who has the luach. So he says, im haluach hazeh biyad tipesh. He says, if the luach, if the blank tablet happens to be in the hand of a fool, so what's he going to do? You know what he's going to do? He says, yisarte tolav sirtute havolim achiskalgil. He's going to take the tablet, and it's going to scribble meaningless things upon it until it's ruined. And it's no longer of any use. But if the Chocham has the tablet in his hands, right? Yichtav olav seder in yonov, then he's going to write a list of his affairs, with Tzrochov and his needs, V'choy Voisov and his debts, Metoy Chaluach, and write, and through this tablet, he'll be able to provide, as he says, Yechalkul v'yifarnes bonov, he'll be able to provide and feed his children. In other words, L'tehelus Gedoyle, to derive much benefit from the tablet. All depends what you write on the tablet, what information you write on the tablet. It says, Kach Lev Odom. Same thing is with the heart of a person. A person is born, it's a fresh young lave. That lave is ready to accept, depending what you write on it, what you put on it, what you inscribe on it, what you fill that lave with. He says, so too is the lave of a person, he says. The lave of a person, Kach Lev Odom, he says, Haksilim yitzayru botziyure hevel v'sheker. He says, those who are foolish people, the foolish people, what do? The foolish people that they write on it, and they scribble on the person's heart, they scribble on a person's heart, figures of hevel, vanity, sheker, deceit. The yichtavu olav, and they fill that heart, that empty tablet that was so ready to absorb like a sponge if you write the right things on it. Fill it with the right thing. And they would instead inscribe Chakuke Hevel V'Oven. And they would inscribe all the emptiness, all the wrongful type of engravings. V'yimalu liba machshoves hevel v'rik, and they would just fill their hearts with machshoves, which is full of emptiness and narishkeiten. On the other hand, v'maskilin, the people who are wise, yichtevu al liba michtevu l'kim, they will write on the tablet of their heart the writings of Hashem, shehu yisoid ha-toyra v'amitzvah v'chochmes ha-midois, which is the foundation of Torah and the mitzvahs, and the chokhma, as he points out, of midois, understand how to deal with midois, understand what are the proper midois, and understanding of to deal with the midois accordingly, to the point that if you start when one is young, adashe yazhiru nafshoisom, then eventually their neshomis will shine and glow, kezayir harikia, glowing like the luster of the sky, the heavens. That was Shlomo Melech's kavona b'Imre, who said, tie the Torah onto your fingers, and make sure that you write them on the tablet of your heart. That's the idea. Because the heart is just an open tablet. It all depends what it's filled with. That's what the Orchaz Deacon points out. So therefore, from a person's youth, one should really seek to fill that heart with the proper things. Very difficult to later on to erase and to change it. Although we can always do that, but makes us his job all the more difficult. Just one more paragraph, Rabbi Yisai. Oidom Shlomo. Another thing Shlomo Melech said, Gam b'malolov yisnakir nar. We are able to see already in a person's youth, one can recognize where he's at. Im zach vim yosher po'oloi. We can recognize whether his acts, whether his deeds are pure and they are upright. What is he referring to? He says, Zeh ha-posik says, Yorchet tzadikim nemar al havchonas hane'orin. This is referring to discrimination of people who are young. To look at the difference of various people who are young. Ki min ureyem nikor midoiseyem. One is already able to see the natural midois of people when they are young. K'moy shetira, as you will notice, mikzas hane'orim nira be'midas boishes. You'll find that some people have a natural shyness among them. They have a natural bush among them. And umuktsosom, and yet others you'll find, they have arrogance. Yet some you see that they're inclined to taiva, which is to lust. Yet others you find they just have a natural tendency for goodness, which is noitim al malas taivas. So vada. So what I want you to know is, when you find any type, he says, any types of character traits that you find that a person has, whether it's in his maturity and his old age, he says, I want you to know, he already possessed them in his childhood and also in his youth. So again, any type of thing, when you find a person in his older age, you find he possesses certain character traits, it didn't just come now. A person's character traits that you see when his age of maturity, he says, they already had them. They're already inside of him already during his childhood and during his youth. The only thing is, when he's very young, maybe they just did not yet come out. They were not yet developed enough to be able to be able to discern and to be able to point where the person really is at. They were sort of like subdued within him. Ach bizmanahu, at the time when he was very young, he was not yet able. He was not yet able to reveal them and to bring them to actuality. And he says that v'hanorim, those young people, asher godla aleihem navlus, those people who have corruption that grew with them from the young age, he says, I want you to know, he says, that when you start young and you notice that there are bad traits, corruption, let's say, efshe shiuchal odom latikom al derech hatoyve. We're saying like this, when you find older people have bad midos, it means they had them when they were young. But if you had caught it when they're young, it's much easier to change it. If you're able to a person with to change them right into the proper derech, first of all, when a person is young, he's more readily able to accept. They're not strong enough, so to speak, to run off from listening to the words of rebuke, from the words of teaching. They're still young, so they don't have the strength of trying to oppose that which is so much being taught to them. And then in a certain sense they are forced to tolerate and to listen and to hear. But once a person has all of these things ingrained until old age and now he wants to change, he says, it's quite difficult. If a person just begins at old age, he begins to try to change himself, he says, it's hem doimin l'tas kesef. When imagine again another mushroom. This is, imagine if you have a silver tray Yitom and Bekarke. A silver tray that was buried in the ground, the He'elo Chaluda Ovo. And as a result of being in the ground, it developed a thick tarnish. A silver tray. But the fact is that it was such a long time in the ground, buried. So now when you take it out, so what do you have to do? You have to polish it and polish it and polish it. This silver needs to be merika achar merika, polishing after polishing, until it retains its original luster. So to man, who just continued to go according to his derech and his custom, and kept doing it over and over again, v'nishka, and he became steeped. Be'imke hamidos hagruis, and he became steeped with all of these defective character traits. Tzarech, now if you want to change, you need a lot of polishing, says the Yochet Tzadikim. Tzarech lil tosh sichloi, figuratively speaking, he has to polish his seichel. Lahavdil ben atom atoy, you know what happens is after a while you don't even begin to recognize the right of wrong. His seichel also needs polishing. And then when he knows what's the difference between right and wrong, then he also has to work on himself. He has to polish his seichel to know the difference between bein atom and bein atoy. Ulahargil b'avoyde. And he has to really be margil b'avoyde. He has to get used to working with himself, ashiyu hamidois tvuois, until he establishes the right midois ekshuras biliboy to become connected to his life. So those rabbis said, this is basically again the tamsis of the Akdoma the Chayv Zahol. You realize, just literally, just telling you about the inyan of the midois of a person, and the 28 gates which the Orech Tzadikim continues on later on is to talk about. As you see, of course, you see in the title of Yom, not the title, but on the title page, see all the various, and again, it's just a wonderful Loshon. Loshon is the way that he uses and describes it to express himself. So we get a lot of benefits as we deal with each and every midah, Bez Hashem, as we go through it. What I want you to do is take a look at the sheet. The first item, is really Sefer called Mayonis HaNetzach on Pirkei Avos. The truth is, the source of this is from the Sefer Kovetz Mamorim from Abuchanan Wasserman. Everybody knows famous Mishnah. Everybody knows the famous Mishnah. It says the Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Now the usual, of course, and when I say the usual, in fact, is this is the way many Rishonim do explain it. What's Derech Eretz mean? Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, the way many Rishonim, Mefarshim explain. You can take a look at Rabbeinu Yoina on Pirkei Avos. Take a look at the Pirush Rambam. Take a look at the Pirush of the Bar Tanura. Derech Eretz means to say the way of the world, which means to say is a person has to work for a livelihood. Yofet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. It's the combination of both. Now, there's a Tosfos Yeshanim in Masechtas Yuma, Muva. In the Tosfos Yeshanim in Masechtas Yuma, that Behei, Tosfos bring that Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Tam, was Medayik from the Loshna Mishnah Denon, from our Mishnah, as if Ke'ilu Talmud Torah Tofel Lagabe Derech Eretz. You know what the Mishnah says? Talmud Torah is a good thing with Derech Eretz. It's mashmah that Derech Eretz is the main thing, right? But what's good with Derech Eretz is to have Torah also. It doesn't say that you should have Torah and Derech Eretz with Torah. It says Yofet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says that it would seem from this Mishnah, it says Yofet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, which means Derech Eretz is the primary thing and Talmud Torah is the secondary thing. Mashma Yofel Litzarif L'Derech Eretz, a good thing to connect with Derech Eretz, also the learning. The learning is the also part. Avlahu Iker. But Mashma the Derech Eretz is the Iker. But it's a good thing to attach and connect with Derech Eretz to have Torah as well. So if you take a look there in Tosfos Masechtas Yuma, comes Rabbeinu Elchanan, how can you say such a thing? Derech Eretz is a very important thing. A person should go to work and do all the things that's necessary, but how can you say that stands above? You have to do both, okay? Let's say, but how can you say that work is a hechra because you have to do it? But how can you say that that's something that stands above Torah? Rabbi Elchanan Tam Olov, he wonders, how can you say that the limud is not ikar? We know, as a matter of fact, the Gemara talks about the early generations. They were in a high madrega. Also Torah and Kiva, that the Torah that was the kvias. Malach Tanara, the work that they did, this was secondary, but the Torah was really the mainstay of their lives. The Torah was the kvias. The Torah was the mainstay. The Malach was Ari. This is always quoted. The Torah should be the kvias, and Malach and the Ari secondary. As a matter of fact, in Pirkei Avos itself, it also says one of the memches kinyon haTorah, one of the 48 things that a person should acquire in order, if you want to have kinyon haTorah, a person wants to acquire Torah, there's 48 different traits that a person should acquire to be able to be zoichet the Torah. One of the 48, it says, b'miyut derech eretz, that a person shouldn't get involved too much with derech eretz. Now, derech eretz is important. You have to earn a living, but not to overdo it. B'miyut derech eretz. You see, certainly, that derech eretz is secondary. So what does it mean, yofet talmud Torah im derech eretz? The idea is, the way Rabbeinu Tam interprets these words, yofet talmud Torah im derech eretz, says Rabbeinu Tam very clearly. The fact that it says, talmud Torah with derech eretz, so Rabbeinu Tam concludes, that means derech eretz is the ikar. Rabbeinu Tam says that. Derech eretz is the ikar, and Torah, right, would seem to be secondary. And many, many years ago, there was a siyum in Washington Heights, the Boris community, on Masechta Yuma, I believe maybe close to 30 years ago. I was invited to say a hadron on the Masechta Yuma, on the Bennett Avenue over there. And Rav Schwab, interesting thing, on his Dvar Torah, also said a Dvar Torah. His Dvar Torah was on this Rabbeinu Tam. This Rabbeinu Tam, Yofa, what did Rabbeinu Tam really mean? How could, I mean, Katoises asks, Rabbeinu Ochana asks, but Rabbeinu Tam is saying it. Lama is he saying it? Or is he saying that? It would appear Rabbeinu Tam is saying, Yofa Talmud Torah im derech eretz, it appears the Torah is secondary. Torah is good to be mitzaref with derech eretz. Which again, which means derech eretz is the ikar. How could that be? How could derech eretz be the ikar? So points out Rabbeinu Ochanan Wasserman. Heyer bikweseyen Rabbeinu Ochanan bunim Wasserman resh mesifta oil Torah debranovich. How you do it? Rabbeinu Ochanan balapshat. And he said like this, Derech Eretz Shomru B'Mishneh Kan, he says in this Mishnah, when it says the word Derech Eretz, does not mean the usual term Derech Eretz. Usually Derech Eretz means the way of the world, means going to work, earning a living. He says here it does not mean Eina Derech Eretz Zeshim Litzu L'mayit, but that's not the Derech Eretz that the Mishnah says in the Memches Devorim that you should be Mamayit. He says, Kvar Chidush Lon Rabbeinu Zrachya Halevi B'Sifrei Hatzovo, the Balamoyer. There's a Sefer in Balamoyer called Sefer Hatzovo, and the Balamoyer points out and gives a number of illustrations. There are many in Lashon Kodesh, there are many words. The same word has two different meanings, depending on what context. You could have a word, you could have a phrase, the exact same phrase, the exact same word, depending on what context has a different meaning. So the Bachon, the word Derech Eretz has more than one meaning. And he points out that Rabbeinu Zrachya Alevi, the Balamor, says, Shesh Mida B'Toyraseinu. There is a midah, which means to say there is a way in the Torah. There is a principle in the Torah. Likroy dover b'shnei mekoyim is b'loshen achas. You can have one loshen in two different places. V'inyone shneim chalukim umrechokim zemezek. Derech eretz shomru l'mayit boy, when the Mishnah says, right? When the Mishnah says that memches devarim, that to be mamayit, one of the 48 things you want to be zeichet to be mamayit derech eretz, that means, he says, om la parnosa. Don't let pranosa overtake your mind fully, completely, that you don't have any time for learning. Should be with a limit. That's referring to omla pranosa. Ho'esik b'chai yisho. The ilu says Rabbi Chonan, derech eretz haniskar poi letzaravil of Torah. When it says toiv toirim derech eretz, it says elu midos toivis umaisim noim. That's referring to midos toivis. Derech eretz means midos toivis. And if derech eretz means midos toivis, that's the ikar. Yes, that's above Torah. Choshev is Torah is. But it's a toffle to the midos toivis. Yovatam atoim derech eretz. And the Bachon brings a very nice raya. Kimuvim, everybody knows the phrase, we say derech eretz kodmul atoira. What does that mean? Derech eretz kodmul atoira. Derech eretz, have derech eretz. It means midos toivis. Doesn't mean derech eretz, it means parnosa. Certainly, right in context, derech eretz. So you see the word derech eretz is being used for midos toivis. Derech eretz kodmul atoira, it's even before atoira. And then Rabbi Chon goes on to show, I'll show you beferish a medrish, beferish a chazal. V'chein mefurish, he says, goli b'divra ha-medrish. Medrish says on the posik, a person brings a mincha, a meal offering. You bring a mincha, it says soilus, right? It's made out of fine flour, melula b'shemen, mixed with oil. What is the fine flour? So the medrish says, zu teire. Teire has to be, melula has to be mixed with shemen. What's the shemen? The shemen is the midrash toivis. She'tzricha livloi b'masim toivim. And the Medrash says, ki ahi desnin. Look, the Medrash gives the moshul. The Medrash quotes the Mishnah. Similar to Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. That it's important that Talmud Torah goes together with Derech Eretz. Right? She'igia shneim. Because when you have both, when you work on both, Mishkach Esovin protects you from sin. Lemincha, because when you have both, Lemincha means then you are going to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu Nachas Ruach. You give pleasure to Hashem, giving pleasure to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Nachas Ruach. Shebizman shodam oisik b'talmud Torah. And v'hu bal maisim toivim, u'misham ratzma min achet hu oisik nachas ruach l'yoytzroi. Zehu eifo shedayik Rabbeinu Tam the Mishnah. That's what Rabbeinu Tam meant. when he was medayik from the Mishnah, when he inferred from the Mishnah, denon, our Mishnah, again. But in times our Mishnah says that their cheres is the ikir, v'loy tam ha-toyre. What kind of their cheres are we talking about? Not that their cheres are panosa we're talking about. That the cheres, the hain eloy ha-medrish ikir el ha-maisa. Toyre is the medrish. But the whole tachlis of toyre is to do the right thing. Loy ha-medrish ikir el ha-maisa. As a matter of fact, Yerushalmi tells us, because you know, we have a klal, of course there are a lot of conditions to the klal. We know we have a klal. Oisik b'mitzvah is poter mina mitzvah. Person's oisik in one mitzvah. When you're involved in one mitzvah and the second mitzvah comes your way, kol zaman you're oisik, right? In the first mitzvah, you're involved with one mitzvah, you're poter from the second mitzvah. So the question Shalom, yes. So how come when a person learns Torah all day, right? Assuming that he's one of those that learn Torah, he should be poter from all mitzvahs. There's no greater mitzvah than Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah can I get cooler. So if you say oisik b'mitzvah, poter mina mitzvah, when I'm oisik in one mitzvah, I'm poter from mitzvah, should be poter from tefillin, from all the mitzvahs. And Yerushalmi said, the Miri brings the Masechet Shabbos. He said, but Torah, you don't say oisik b'mitzvah poter mitzvah. You know why? Because what's all tachlis of learning? God will talmud shemevi l'dei maaseh. The whole tachlis of the learning is to make you a better person, to serve Hashem better. That's the tachlis. The whole tachlis of Torah is shemevi l'dei maaseh. Lo yamedrish ikar elo hamaaseh. Torah is not something theoretical that you just learn, but molds and refashions the person. And the truth is, what you see here, what you saw Rabbi Chonon bringing b'shem Rabbeinu Tam, just remember again, we just learned the Yorchid Tzadikim. What did Yorchid Tzadikim say? That a person who has midos royis, the end of the day, he says, he's going to lose his Torah mitzvahs too. And he gave the marshal of the chovius who has fine wine. The barrel was fine wine. There's a little hole there. So what good is it going to do? All the fine wine is going to keep seeping through and through. It's going to lose. It's going to escape. So derech eretz, right? Says the midos, says the Yorchid Tzadikim, that it was going to keep his Torah. Yofa Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah will only have meaning. And it's good. When is it good? You know when Talmud Torah is good? Im derech eretz. Yeah, you have to have the derech eretz. Derech eretz, really, that is really the ikar. That's the purpose. So I want to show you something fascinating. It's a few lines here from the Majlis Rebbe in last week's parsha. And the Majlis Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael, the Majlis, he's the famous Rebbe, you know, there's a lot of Rebbes in Majlis, you know, one after the other, but he's the famous composer, Majlis Nagunim, going back. He's the famous Rabbi Yisrael, the Majlis, who composed all the early famous Majlis Nagunim. Rabbi Yisrael, the Majlis was one of those that was walking through the streets of Warsaw, and his mind was always automatically composing Nagunim, and as he was walking through Warsaw, came to his mind, which is the one of the most well-known in the Majlis of all the various compositions, is Ela Eskara, which has something like, you know, many, many different sections it goes over, and he composed it. And they said that he had to undergo particular surgery once a time, the Majlis Rebbe, and he refused to take anesthesia. He said, how are you able to survive an operation anesthesia? His mind was occupied, he was able to concentrate, he saw on his Nagunim and on his higher spirit in the Shoma, and just concentrate, tremendous koyach of concentration. I mean, they didn't feel. They said about other gedolim, not too many, but who had that ability. They were to be able to restrain themselves and not use anesthesia, but their mind was the anesthesia. Vayoretz Eved L'krosa. We find that when Eliezer Eved Avram, right, he's looking and searching, of course, for a wife, for Yitzchak, and he sees Rivka. He's not sure yet who she is. So he says to her, "Hagmiini no matmai mikadech." So he makes the request that he's going to test her if she's a balas chesed, and feed me some of the water from your pitcher. And Rashi says, "Vayora seved lekrosa." Why did he? Well, he sees just a girl like that. Why do you run? I mean, look, he's looking for a shidduch. So you see a girl coming. So right away, maybe, yeah, you try to find out something about her. So just because he saw a girl coming, so that means he's going to run over to her and figure, man, maybe she, why would you even think that that's going to be the girl? I mean, ask around about her, find out something about her. What made him run towards her even to think that she is a possible candidate? What made him think that she's a possible candidate? Just because, so Rashi says, Lefi shiro sha'olu hamayim likrosa. He saw that nisim, a miracle, took place. He saw that she had tremendous chusim, that the water came up against her. It's a nis. Eliezer Eved Avram saw that this is not a simple person. This is not a poshut person. He saw that the water that she intended to draw, the water was coming up towards her. So says Rashi, Lefi shiro sha'olu hamayim likrosa. The Majlis Rebbe asks, isn't that enough? So finished. What kind of test? You still need the second test. Still need the second test. If somebody's the Baal Ruch HaKodesh, a Kalah that has Ruch HaKodesh, a Kalah that has Nisim happening to her, when he saw from her this tremendous meifes, this tremendous ness. She'olu ha'mayim likrosa, that the water came up against her. Ein l'cha chocha gedoyle mezu. This is the biggest raya, the biggest proof. V'loma also oida simen. So why do you still make tests to see, is she going to give me, does she give the camels, and all these other subsequent tests? We need all these tests further. What do you need it for? L'loy tzayrech, it would not be necessary. Says the Divrei Yisroel, says the Majid Rebbe Eloi, Iker rayehu mimidis toivis loy memoifsin. Here again, Aruch HaTzadikim telling us the role of midas toivis. He says, what makes a good wife, he says, is not necessarily balas ruach hakodesh, how much chesed she has. But makes a wife not someone who has a lot of nisim happening to her. The question is, how great is she midas toivis? And this is the thing that was the criterion. When you build Klal Yisroel, you're building Klal Yisroel, it has to be on the foundation of someone who is on the highest level of chesed. And the fact is that she might be a Baal Madrega, but that might not yet, you know, just won't cut it yet. Because it doesn't come to Midas Toivis. Again, the role of Midas Toivis, their cheretz is the Iker. All the other things are secondary. Their cheretz is the Iker. It's the Midas Toivis, not the Moifsim, not all the other things. And I want to show you something fascinating. This is the words of the Shlach Kodesh. And who would be able to figure out and say such a pshat in a posik? Just look at the posik first to be able to appreciate what the Shlach Kodesh says. Vatemaher, right? So she rushed, Rivka rushed. Right, Rivka rushed in order to do the bidding of Eliezer. Vata'ar kadol ha-shoikis, and she emptied her pitcher, right, into the trough. Vatoratz oyed al-haber, and she runs, right, again to the bear, to the well, lishoiv, to draw vatishav l'chol gamalav. Okay, so what happened over here? What happened is, first she gave from her kad. She had a pitcher, and she gave water to Eliezer. Right? But now, the camels also need to drink. So she emptied, you know, she emptied the remaining water after Eliezer drank. She emptied it into the trough, and she runs to the bear. She runs to the bear in order to draw fresh water again for the camels. Now look, says the Shlach Kodesh, Matam lemihiris veritzazu. What was that? What's the idea that she rushed? What? Eliezer said, Liz have to have a plane today? Why was she rushing? I mean, she's doing him a favor. She's doing him a chesed. So let her walk over to the bear. What's the idea that she ran? What was the end of running? The Balamusa, by the way, go to town on this too. It shows the same way that chesed is a gewaldige thing. But in addition to chesed also has to be done with rizis. That's another dimension of chesed. That's a new dimension of chesed. People do chesed azoy, then some people do it with a brand, that do it with fervor. The idea of running to do chesed is another dimension. It's a higher level of chesed. Okay, so she runs. But the Shulchan Aruch wants to say something else. And the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Ela shechochmo gedoy lehoysakan. Listen to this. Shlach Kodesh said there was a great chokhmah here, Mitzidah Shal Rivka. Rivka here portrayed and demonstrated tremendous chokhmah. What is it? He said like this, La'achar shegomer Eliezer shtiyosoy. After Eliezer finished drinking from her pitcher, and there was some water left, V'nisharu mayim b'kada Shal Rivka. Rivka lo yodo keitzad linhoig. Rivka was not sure what is the right thing to do. Why? Mechadgis, on the one hand, it's unbelievable things. By the way, what would be wrong taking the remaining water and give it to the camels? Right? And if you need more, you go and get more. She had water in the pitcher. So the Shlach Kodesh, Midas Toivis demands, you don't compare a person to a camel. It's not the same water. You I give specially, and I don't feed the camels with exact same water I gave you. So Rivka was making a cheshem. Im titeni she'eris ha'mayim legemalim. If she would simply give the remaining water to the camels, ha'rezu p'chisas kovel Eliezer. Again, their cheretz. She was so sensitive. If she would give the remaining water to the gemalim, she felt this would be a p'chisas ha'kovel. This would be an embarrassment to Eliezer. Shrei b'kach nirekil u'mashvis odom lebeima. Your water and the camels drinking, you're drinking, it's all the same. Lashkoisim b'kli echot. All drinking from the same kli. On the other hand, to spill it out, it's also not their cheretz. Why? Because when Eliezer drinks with peers, you drank from it, that water now is worthless. Spill it out like garbage. He says, "Umeider gisa im tishpoch hashiora koisoi, eshu it. Spill the remainings, by this remaining kois, harei zekilu misyacheses. It would appear that her attitude is al shiora shtiosa kel shoifrim. Like now it's putrid water. It's not worth anything. That's why I'm spilling it out. Nobody else can benefit. Once Eliezer drank from it, it looks like nobody else should be drinking from it, as if he has some disease or something in his mouth. Nobody should be drinking from it. Benkach or benkach, hoyse rivka poigaz b'chvoide sheliezer. On top, Rabbi Yisai. On top, number four. So the Shlach Kodesh says again, she has a problem. The remaining water, what does she do with it? Does she feed it to the camels? It'll be a p'chisa zakovet Eliezer. It might be denigrating Eliezer's kovet, that she somehow is comparing camels to him, right? The same water, the same kli, out of the same kli. On the other hand, spilling it may also, so this water is no longer worthy of anybody drinking. Once you drank from it, nobody can have any hanoah. Here, I'm spilling it out. So what does she do? Ma osas harifka, nischakim avosas atzma. She gave the appearance as if she has to rush. Kilu rotzo, as if she's running. Kli lahashka says a gemalim. While she was running, listen to that. You know, when you run, you're apt to trip and have something fall out of your hands. It fell off accidentally. While she's running, so now she's able to get new water, and not at the expense of the kovet of Eliezer. Here the cheshbonis, the Shlach HaKadosh says, HaRivka Amenu goes to make all these cheshbonis, just to see that what? That in no way should there be a pegiyus b'kovet shel Eliezer, in any which way. In any which way. So the idea of running was to be an excuse that's why she trips, so to speak. The impression was that she's running and that's why she's tripping, so the water spills out. Because there was no good way to get around it. Because either way there would be a problem with Eliezer somehow feeling slighted. She spills it out, right? Oh, this water that you drank from it has to be spilled. Feeding it to Gemalim is also not an Eitzah, because it would appear again, you and the Gemalim are the same. You have to have a terror. You have to figure out a way that the Mayim spills accidentally. That's what she was running, to give the impression that this is what happened, as if she tripped it. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, so the truth is that, you know, talking about the Midrash that the Ohr HaTzadikim talks about and tells us, we stand in awe many times about when we hear about the greatness of Tzadikim. And great people, what makes people great, the truth is, the definition of great people are because they have the sensitivity to the feelings of others in very exceptional ways. Many people, even who have rachmonis, have feelings to other people, but what makes people great is the fact that they have this extra sensitivity in exceptional ways. And it's quite posh, it would be quite common that we all recognize that it's wrong to cause shame or humiliation. But to go out of your way, right, to go out of your way, to be sensitive to somebody's feelings, that's something already that really separates the great people from the common folk. In Yerushalayim, you might know that the Rav of the old city of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Avigdor Nebenzahl, he used to be the Chavrusa of Shlomo Zalman Orbach for about 40 years. 40 years they had a Chavrusa shop, they would learn about Chavrusa. And basically every day for years, this is the way it went, every day for years, Shlomo Zalman and Rav Nebenzahl, they would go for a few hours to a private apartment where no one had permission to enter, so they could study together uninterrupted. That's partially the way it was. When Shlomo Zalman was nifter, so Rav Nebenzahl was one of those who gave a hespit. He was a schavrusa. And he told the following incident, which basically depicted Shlomo Zalman's, he says, classic sensitivity. And he pointed out that it was a girl in Yerushalayim who suffered a broken engagement. And as a result, she became very despondent and depressed. And she asked her father if he could take her to Shlomo Zalman for a brocha. The father promised he would do so, but because of his busy schedule, the visit was always delayed. Finally, it came on Purim day, it was Purim. So the father told his daughter, you know what, I'm going to take you to Shlomo Zalman that afternoon. By the time they came to Shlomo Zalman, but he was there, he lived in Shaarei Chesed. I saw Shlomo Zalman visit his house for the very first time, I think it was in Tovshin Chof Test, 1969. The very first time I visited Shlomo Zalman, and I believe at that time he did not even have a phone in his house. There was no phone. What about Shilas? Well, whoever wanted to get him found a way how to get him. That's the way it was. There was no phone. And I remember something else very, very distinctly. My stay was not in Shaarei Chesed. My stay was in another part of Geula there. And I simply needed to know how to get from Shaarei Chesed to Geula. And I was told that there's a bus. I don't know which bus. So I simply asked Shlomo Zalman. He says, where's there a bus to go back to Geula? And so he says, oh, no problem. He starts walking down the steps. They said, no, it's okay. Just show me where to go. And he walks down the steps, and he gets the bottom of the steps, and then he makes a right turn and starts walking and walking and walking and walking. I thought he's walking me to Geula. But Baruch Hashem, he stopped at the bus stop. But it's just an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. So in any case, so they come to Shlomo Zalman. It was on Purim. It turns out he had already washed for the Suda. Hamoitzi, and he began the Purim Suda. So the father saw what happened. Shlomo Zalman already sitting at the Suda, so he apologizes, disturbing the meal, but he explains to Shlomo Zalman that his daughter has been waiting for quite a while to get a bracha because she was depressed and she was very pessimistic about her future. So the father said, if the Rav will allow me, my daughter's waiting in the outer room, so I'm going to bring her in from the other room for just a moment. Shlomo Zalman said, no, I'm going to go out to her. He says, no, he protested. He said, no, she'll come in. The Rav shouldn't get up. He's sitting at the table. He's sitting at the Suda. Let her come in for a bracha. Take a minute. You don't have to. No, he insisted on going up. He disregarded the protest of the father, and he gets up and goes into the other room. And the father explains exactly the situation of the bracha because she had a broken engagement. He listens carefully. And finally, he gives her bracha, encouragement and reassurance. And he told her they had every confidence that as Hashem, she's going to have a bright future and she's going to find her proper zivig and so on and so forth. And Hashem will see to it that she has a lot of simcha yet in her life. And that was the bracha. The Maestro, the girl, became so moved by the bracha of Shlomo Zalman, and she felt a genuine concern that she burst into tears. And she buries her face in her hands. And she tries to thank him, but she could hardly speak. Shlomo Zalman waits for her to compose herself, and then he wishes a Freilichim Purim, he says a happy Purim. So when Shlomo Zalman walks back to the dining room, he turns to the father and says very softly, he says, that's why I didn't want her to come in. Shlomo Zalman understood that the emotion of the moment, right, and anticipated that she might cry and didn't want her to be embarrassed in front of all the people that are sitting over there. He made that whole cheshbon. That's why he went out to her. So here's interesting, and just as a little shtickl sequel, or Reb Osher Arieli, of course, one of the primary Magidish here in Shiva Samir, he said the following. He was when this after the Hesped that was told about Reb Shlomo Zalman. This story, Reb Nedenzal related this incident about Reb Shlomo Zalman. So he said that when Reb Meir Chodesh was the late Mashgiach of Shiva's Chevron, so he was Nifter 1989. So Meir Chodesh, the Alter Mashgiach of Chevron, said when he was in Hadassah Hospital, that was with his final illness, he was visited every day, he said, by family and by close Talmidim, some of his close Talmidim. So one day, a young intern comes into the room of Rav Meir Chodosh to draw blood from his arm. But before he could begin the procedure, Rav Meir Chodosh, he tells everybody to leave the room. And they were very surprised about that, because usually he appreciated it when family members were around him during doctor's visits and procedures. So they were up to date on his medical status, and here all of a sudden he's sending everybody out. So the visitors tried to dissuade him. Listen, he says, well, we'll be here. It's nothing. Say, no, he emphatically insisted that they all leave. A while later, after the vial of blood was drawn, you know, and the intern leaves the room, so Reb Chodesh explains, and he said like this. He said, my hand, he says, my age is very hard, he says, for a doctor to find a vein to draw blood. It's not easy. So he has to keep sticking me a few times. Especially an intern, in addition to being inexperienced, right, and my hand, you can imagine how many times he's going to have to stick me. And all the people standing around him, watching him, how he's sticking, how is he going to feel? So for this particular time, he sent out everybody that the intern who's going to have to keep sticking a few times until he finds a vein is not going to have to be embarrassed. So Rabbi Ariel Rabosha pointed out and says, imagine. He says, Ramer Chodesh is being poked and stuck, and each time it's painful. But it wasn't his pain that disturbed him. It's the pain of a young doctor's humiliation that disturbs him. That was his concern. And who said, Rav Sholem Shalom, he's the same voice says. So how do you read such a madrega? They said, Musar. That's how you read such a madrega.